The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. And we do that every single week by sharing the stories and advice of those rocking it on the other side. This week we have on Shelly Elkins. Shelly Elkins is a newly appointed Chief Creative Officer of NVE Experience Agency. Shelly was appointed this role in October of 2023 as NVE announced their formalization of the agency's first ever C-suite. NVE Agency states, "Our mission is to create experiences that empower brands to build deeper, more meaningful relationships with their customers. In a world full of distractions, the right moments, the right experience, they have the capacity to cut through." So prior to joining NVE, Shelly was a global CCO for Jack Morton Worldwide, where she drove the creative vision for the agency across its network and chaired the agency's Global Creative Council. Under her direction, Jack Morton garnered numerous high-profile wins, including its first ever Effie Gold, the Lion Grand Prix, and the most experiential award wins of any agency for 2 years running, as well as numerous Clios, Shorties, and many more. My goodness, that's why she's on this podcast. She's incredible. What else do we talk about? So we talk about NVE. She just got there a couple months ago as we recorded this, so we talk about her vision. And I like that she also, fun fact, she graduated with honors from the University of Missouri Columbia and the Journalism School, where she had an emphasis in advertising alongside one of my career champions, Myra Nussbaum, who is at Havas and who hired me. So in a way, you know, Shelly and Myra helped me break into advertising. What else do we talk about? We talk about this coin system she calls the five C's to break in and thrive in advertising that she's collected and wrote down over the course of her career. We learned about NVE, what experiential advertising is today, and how we should all be interested in it and potentially is the best way to break in. So all that, you're going to want to connect with Shelly. I'm excited for you to listen to connect with her. I'm doing a new thing. If you give our podcast, Breaking and Entering, on Apple Podcasts, a five-star review, five stars in a review, and you connect with me on LinkedIn, I'll personally connect you with Shelly and any of our past guests. So go ahead and do that. Connect with me. And now, on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast, and as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. Right. Shelly Elkins, welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. How the heck are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you. It's sunny in San Francisco, so I can't complain. I could be maybe in a little bit colder weather.
And you have been in previous portions of your life. Is that correct?
I have. I spent most of my adult life in Chicago. As a Midwesterner, that was always the place I wanted to be. But recently moved back to San Francisco and I'm loving it.
And some of our listeners might know that I'm in Chicago. I've been my whole life. So I'm a little jealous when I see the sunlight in the background of your video here. But we definitely want to dive into where you've been, because right now you're the EVP Chief Creative Officer at NVE Experience Agency. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that is new. It is a new job for me. I started with NVE at the end of October.
And did I pronounce the name of the agency correctly?
You did. It's correct. It's NVE. Yeah.
NVE. So I want to learn all about that. You've been there for, you started in October, you said?
Yes. Just recently. Oh. I think this is day maybe 24, 25.
So I'm sure you've done amazing stuff already. You know everything super well, and you're ready to rock and roll to talk and brag about your achievements there. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Yeah.
Good.
I think, yeah. So we'll talk about that. What does it mean to be a chief creative officer and what's NVE like? So let's kick it from there. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I took the job with NVE because I've been so impressed by what they've been doing, what we've been doing over the past several years. NVE is a creative marketing agency that specializes in experiential and brand experiences. They really started as a brand experience agency and have grown incredibly over the past decade. And I am so excited to be here and be part of it and help the agency leap into the next era.
Got it. So experiential agency, what does that mean? I think a term that we use a lot in my agency and I've heard are brand X. Is this something that you guys specialize in? What is a brand X? What is it? What are these? What is experiential in your mindset here?
Yeah, brand X are definitely experiential often in nature, but they are not all of experiential. Experiential is exactly as it sounds. It is people experiencing a brand. If you think about it as advertising, like traditional advertising, TV, print is brands talking. Experiential is brands doing. So it's brands proving the promises that they're making, which can be in the form of a brand act.
Got it. Okay. So to clarify then, brand experiential advertising is how people interact with the brand, correct? And then what you guys put on for the brand to do to show up in the world, how people engage with that brand. So wouldn't all advertising kind of fall in that category, or should fall in that category?
I would love to say yes. It's how all brands should behave. But I think the big distinguishing factor is that, you know, more traditional advertising is brands pushing out messaging content versus experiential, which is inviting them in to live and feel and touch and experience through all the senses the brand. So that can look a million different ways. It can be physical. It can also be digital. But it is always something that really lets people live the brand, feel the brand. So example might include, you know, an event, something in real life, stunt, you know, like a more traditional PR stunt can qualify. The things that brands do at big cultural events like South by Southwest or Coachella, you know, all of those things fall under experiential.
Gotcha. I wanted to ask you then more about NVE and then also just what it's like working there, like what drew you to it other than besides the work, you know, is it a smaller shop, larger shop, and what's the culture like and what's your vision for the future? Because you just started. So where is it at now and how do you want to make your mark at NVE?
Yeah, so to answer your question, NVE is an agency that is defining the future of not only experiential, but in our opinion, advertising and marketing more broadly. What drew me here is that it is an independent agency. Yes, and the power of creativity here is real.
Why did that call your name independent? What drew you to that? Why is that interesting?
I've worked for a couple decades at agencies that were a part of bigger entities, holding companies, and the speed with which NV can move and make decisions is unparalleled. I've already experienced that firsthand in my first few weeks. And creativity really can rule the day here. We are not afraid to bring big, bold ideas forward to clients, and we can do it faster because we're...
Speed is huge. I mean, it's super important. I mean, not in all holding companies, right? But it's easy to classify holding companies as more bureaucratic, and there's more layers. Approvals take some time. And there's pros and cons here. It's an ongoing theme that we kind of talk about in this show, small or independent versus holding company owned. So definitely love whenever somebody mentions that, I'd like to remind our listeners, like the advantages of either, because there's both clear advantages to it as well. So what's the vision now? So you've been there for like 2 months as when we're recording this. So what do you... maybe drawing on the strengths that is already there, how, you know, what did they see in you to hire you as the chief creative officer? What's the next step? What are you really hoping for in the next 6 months?
Yeah, I believe in a future where experiential is more and more at the center of the marketing mix, meaning experiential is really at the core of how brands show up in the world, and that they are doing more and spending more in experiential, and therefore doing more and being more relevant in culture and for their audiences. And so that's what I'm here to help NV unlock. They've already for a decade, been doing work that's been getting attention. They've been growing. We've been growing.
Yep. Good disclaimer. Yep.
And so that's why I'm here.
And where were you at before? You were at Jack Morton Worldwide. You were there for 7 years. It says on the LinkedIn's as the executive creative director there. So tell me a little bit about that, just to get some context, because that's a good chunk of time in agency life. That's like times that by seven, like dog years in agency life, pretty much the same thing. So I guess, like, and we'll get into this as we kick it back to your story, but while we're on this subject, I think providing some of that context where you were just at can be really helpful for people listening.
Yeah, prior to NV, I was the global chief creative officer for Jack Morton Worldwide. So I spent almost 8 years with Jack. I started with Jack running creative in Chicago and helped grow the office, helped win some awards for the work that we did, and then was promoted into the role of global chief creative officer. So I looked after the creative product for all of Jack's offices worldwide.
And now I want to get to know about something. I actually want to bring up something because we were talking before, because I think it's super interesting. And Breaking In is the name of this podcast. In a way, is it fair to say that I, Gino Schellenberger, probably would not have broken in without you? Is that legal? Can we talk about that?
I think we can talk about it. We can definitely talk about it. I think it's a bold claim, but I love
in
it.
In a way, for sure, there's a connection. I don't know if it's direct, but there's a connection here. Do you want to provide context and like how and why I'm bringing this up?
Yeah, so I know and highly respect the incredible Myra, who is the president and CEO of your now agency.
Mm-hmm.
in Chicago. And she and I went to college together at the University of Missouri, Columbia Journalism School. And both of us gravitated toward the advertising sequence, as they called it, at Mizzou, sure. And ended up being partners in our capstone course. And if we really wanted a laugh, we could get out some of our old work that we did, the spec work we did for Pepsi.
Please pull that up.
I know, right? Cue the work.
Print that out and put it on her desk. Be like, look what I found.
But yeah, we obviously got to know each other well and became friends. We also worked in our spare time on a magazine together called Stir Magazine, and stayed in touch and both moved to Chicago after college. And she called me up one day because my very good friend, in fact, my best friend, who's also in the business, had gotten a job at Upshot. And she wanted me to make a connection. And so I did. And she did all the hard work. She got the job. But I suppose you could draw the conclusion that I helped Myra get her first job. And
of course. Of course. You guys broke in at the same similar times. And, you know, and she's the one that called me up and hired me at Havas, really being like the first agency I broke into. So. Yeah, I thought that was a really cool story, small world. And I owe, you know, a lot of things to you as well. So I just love that. And I think that's a good lesson there for everybody listening. Like, it's a small world and you keep connecting with these people and you'll find some amazing parallels. So I love that. But I want to get into, I want to kind of break that down in that story. So Mizzou, we know, has a wonderful journalism program, wonderful ad program. It's one of the benchmarks of the schools that I've talked to, and I know that a lot of great alumni come from that program. So did you know going to Mizzou, I guess, that did you know right away that you wanted to make ads for a living?
No, not at all. I've always known since I can remember that I wanted to do something creative. And for a long time, I thought that was music. I come from a musical family and I loved to sing, but then got into writing. And so went to Mizzou to be a journalist and happened to take a class in advertising and absolutely fell in love with it. So when I went to Mizzou, I thought I was going to report, you know, the hard news, who knows? But ended up focusing on advertising and here I am. It worked out.
So you're from a family of musicians. What type of music?
Very much classical music, actually. So a couple pianists in my family, an accordion player, and then
that's cool.
Definitely singers too. So I grew up singing in all the groups and still sing. I sing with the Oakland Symphony Chorus.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's impressive, I think, right? That's got to be hard to do.
Yeah.
You probably just don't let anybody walk in and start singing. I mean, you could, but they might kick you out. Like, they would kick me out.
Maybe. Well, I haven't heard you sing. We are a very welcoming group. No, I mean, for me, I just recently got back into singing, and it's something I've learned over the years, or I actually continue to relearn, is that as a creative person, and I just, for the record, think everyone in this business, whether you're in creative or you're in finance or you're in accounts or production, whatever part of the industry you're in, we're all creative. We're all drawn to this business for a reason. And I think it's really important for us to seek our creative passions outside of work. It really helps feed your creativity at work.
100%. I think being interested in something outside of making ads or being a part of the agency or your company, finding out those hobbies, whatever they are, they reinforce your creativity and make you stronger, right? And you know, we see some of the best creatives I've talked to are, you know, going out to museums in their free time or going to book signings or book clubs or whatever it might be outside of the norm to stay fresh and focused and in tune with culture. Can you list out some classical beginner listening, like music, like songs or composers that I should tap into as an intro?
Sure. I mean, first and foremost, you have to start with Mozart. If you haven't listened to Mozart, and specifically Mozart's Requiem.
Boom. Got it. Do you have a Spotify playlist that we can share?
I do. I mean, I have probably 10 playlists that I can combine into one. Happily.
That'd be interesting. It's like a concepting playlist. Like when you're thinking of ideas, you could put this on. That'd be kind of fun.
I kind of use Spotify that way, actually. So, yes.
You do use it for that?
Yeah. I have probably hundreds of playlists that have only a few songs because I'm dabbling in some idea and music is connected to it. Yeah.
Boom.
Well, there you go.
Maybe.
But yeah, I can share a classical intro playlist.
For beginners, yeah.
Yonder.
So then, in your story then, so you thought you're going to break hard news, like you said, and then you got an advertising class and you're hooked. And from there, you know, parents, family, guardians, how do they take to hearing that you want to make ads? Do they understand that? Because that's a tough conversation for some people. So I like to ask about how that went over.
I had the fortune of having the best dad in the world. I lost him a few years ago.
And sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I lost him to colon cancer. So everyone, when you reach your 40s, make sure to talk to your doctor about getting screened for colon cancer. Screening can prevent what happened to my dad. But anyway, I had the best dad. And although I came from a family of lawyers and they actually wanted me to go into law, my dad was thrilled that I was going into advertising. He supported wholeheartedly any career that I explored and did so by helping me research it. And so he would mail me all kinds of things using the good old fashioned U.S. Postal Service. I joke that he was their biggest customer and probably actually was. And so he supported me going into advertising and really helped me in a way like you're doing. There were podcasts. When I was getting into the industry, there was the internet, but, you know, nothing like there is today. And like this, which is so helpful for people as they consider the various places that this career can take you. And my dad helped me find that path.
He was your accomplice.
He was definitely my accomplice.
When you're breaking and entering. So you knew then that you wanted to go the writing route because you said you were going to be a journalist. But so did you know between all the different roles within advertising, you know, did you have a pretty clear understanding that copywriting was for you?
I think I did because I was just so in love with being a writer and telling stories, first with journalism. But I did what a lot of people do, which was I got the first job that I could get. And that was as a proofreader.
Yeah.
I was a terrible proofreader.
At an agency?
At an agency.
You're in.
Yeah, I was in. It was a mid-sized agency in Chicago. Independent. It's no longer in business today. Those who work there have many, many stories to tell about this agency. It's called Flair. And if you're from Chicago, Flair House is over in River North on Erie Street next to Hooters restaurant. It's mansion, and that's where Flair Agency was headquartered. And that's where I started in this business as a proofreader and was very quickly promoted to be a copywriter for reasons I was no good at proofreading.
That's a strategy. Sabotage. Take a job, sabotage it to get transferred to a different role.
Might be a risky strategy, but it worked for me.
No, but I think there's a lot of like, there's a great lesson there that, you know, people worry about getting like the dream role right away. And we, yes, this podcast's goal is to get you a step closer to whatever you ideally want. And to know what you want is the first step, I always say. But sometimes you graduate, you have student loan debt, and you need to pay the bills, and you maybe want to move out of your hometown in your basement. For me, that was the pandemic. And I was like, I need to get something and figure something out. So I took whatever I could. I think that's something that's a reality, that your first job sometimes picks you. It's like what you do after that. You don't stop working on your portfolio. You don't stop working on networking or, you know, applying to these creative award shows and submitting work is if you specifically want to be a creative. So were you, when you were at, how did you like transfer and pivot then from proofer to copywriter? You said you were no good at proofreading, but did you make it very clear to everybody you were working with that, yes, you wanted to be a copywriter? Like, how did you do that internal shift? Because that's super, super important. I don't want to glide past that.
Yeah, I think one thing to consider is to take a job, even if it's not in the exact field, you know, doing the exact thing you want to do, but to take one that touches, that interacts with, you know, a lot of different groups in the agency is a great strategy. So proofreader was that for me.
Mostly copywriting, kind of.
Yeah, words. Right. I mean, I worked with every, you know, team because they all had to send their work through proofreading.
You literally see everything that's so important that's going out externally to the world, or whether it's for like important pitches internally. So yeah, you were probably assessing and like reviewing all the creative work, all the important copy. So you probably got a really quick, like learning, like degree almost, if you will, like another education probably on like what the creative standard was at that agency.
Yeah, it was a crash course. And
that was the word. Yeah.
Kind of be a creative. And I met all the people, you know, running those accounts and leading that business. So there was maybe no better job for me to have taken first, even though I wasn't always the best at the actual proofreading.
and while you're doing the proofreading, how long was that? A couple of months, perhaps?
I want to say 6 months.
That's like an eternity sometimes. If you don't love something, you know, 6 months, I think it's a long time if you don't really truly love it. So were you ever thinking at this time, like family of lawyers, this proofreading thing is not for me. I love this agency. Maybe I'll go to law school. Was that something that was going on in your mind?
Sure, definitely. And I thought about lots of other options during that time. But I generally have a rule to stick with something new for at least 1 and ideally 2 years. And I have just found that, you know, change and doing new things and trying things out really takes more than 3 months or 6 months or even a year before you really, really have a sense of whether it's for you. So
got it.
I did. And it happened to work.
Got it. So then how did the copywriter come about one more time? So did a role open up? Did you express when that role opened up for this copywriter position? You're like, I want that ASAP.
Yes, I did. You have to advocate for yourself. And so I simply raised my hand, but also I had been writing for the agency whenever I could, whatever it was.
Open briefs. I mean, that's something now, I don't know. But yeah, like any opportunities or like any chance to get any sort of idea in, I'm sure you took those. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Open briefs for sure. But also, for example, the agency had a newsletter and I raised my hand to write for that. You know, the things that are less glamorous than sometimes open briefs are. Absolutely anything and everything that I could do.
And I can think of some ways like how that translates today. Open briefs are when the CCO will put a brief to the whole agency. Anybody, for the most part, can submit ideas. Finance can for most agencies. PR comms, we can do that. I've submitted some ideas. So that's obviously one. But then you can also buddy up with the comms director and help out with social media for the agency, or you can write newsletters or volunteer to like send stuff out and lead workshops on TikTok. There's a lot of different ways that you can kind of gain visibility. And the other thing is pitching. If there's new business opportunities, it's like probably the best way if you volunteer some ideas to get visibility with the CCO, the president, the chief client officer at the time, whoever it might be. So those are just a couple of different ways to get noticed, even if you're not in that perfect role or they need extra hands.
If you weren't going to say it, I was. Pitching is the best way to pitch yourself. New business is a constant need. And there are so many ways you can help. Plus, it too is a crash course
in
how the agency works. You know, how teams work. There's nothing better than being part of new business in terms of a learning opportunity.
Yeah. Pitching is the best way to pitch yourself. I like that. I've never heard that.
I just wrote it.
Got to put that on a t-shirt. Got it. So then you broke into copywriting. So now I want to get into advice. And, you know, if you were to do this all again, like in today's setting, hybrid model, remote work, I guess looking back, like what advice do you have for people doing this now? Listening, everybody that is like, yeah, that's what I want to do. How do I do this today? Like what comes top of mind and like, what do you look for when you hire people? Give me the rundown. I want to give you this moment here.
Yeah. I mean, the first way is by networking. And I know that's a hard word, but relationships are everything in this business. So I'm a big believer in following, learning from, paying attention to the agencies that you want to be a part of. So if I were trying to break in today, I would use LinkedIn as my superpower and I would go follow all the leaders of the agencies that I want to be part of and engage with them on social.
I mean, we have all the answers, like all the people that you can possibly, if you find an ad on TV that you laugh at or you see something in culture and you realize, oh, an agency must have made that. You Google it, figure out what agency made it, go to the website, see who's working there, go to LinkedIn, cross-check it, connect with it, ask around. You can probably find out who made that ad or put on that activation in a matter of like 30 minutes if you do it properly. You know, we kind of have to investigate, but there it's out there. Credit lists, Muse by Clio is a free source that I really recommend. It's very similar to Ad Age Ad Week, but they often put credits in the work that they write about. This is my PR brain just going haywire right now, firing off. But you can find out who made these ads pretty easily. It's not impossible, and I can help people do that if they need it. But it's a really, really powerful lesson that you can go and find who made that Super Bowl ad or did that commercial that made your parents laugh and they said you should go work at that agency. People would look at me in college and be like, Gino, who made that ad? and I would sometimes know it. And if I didn't, I would look it up on the spot and try to be like, that was so-and-so. And then I would try to connect with them and put them on this podcast to make, just to say, and they forgot about it. Like, I don't remember what you're talking about, but I'd be like, I got the guy or girl that made that.
That's amazing. That's such great advice. And there's so many, you mentioned your music by Cleo. There's so many, you know, content sources, but also organizations that have incredible programs and incredible free content and classes. You know, there's obviously entities like Miami Ad School. They have 5 hours of free courses. I just saw that the other day. The Essie organization does an incredible boot camp for marketing effectiveness. You know, that costs money, but that's a great way to, again, really get a broad perspective on the industry. They do classes with 8 different agencies. You know, it's an incredible course in advertising.
What do you look for when you're hiring a creative? Art director, copywriter, strategist, heck, producer. When you're on the Zoom calls or you're in person looking at their work, tell me, like, what are some of those things that kind of set people apart?
Yeah, I look for spark, for magic, for ideas that jump out, even if they didn't get made. I think that's so important for creatives in particular, is that you can have spec work in your portfolio that shows how you think, even if, you know, it wasn't actually something you executed. And I also look for passion, in the sense of passion for this industry. In conversations, I'll often ask, what was the last, you know, piece of work you saw out there in the world that made you jealous, that was something that you would have loved to have done? And I ask that, you know, also to see if the person that I'm talking to is a student of the industry. It's important to, you know, just like in nearly every other industry, continue to learn and study the greats, the classics.
It's a really good question. Like, what was the latest work that made you jealous or inspired you? Because it really gauges, like you said, if they're staying in tune. And it's something I call, like, nerding up. You have to nerd up to break in this industry in the best possible way. You have to know this industry. You have to know who's hiring, who's winning work, what creatives you want to work with, who and what they're working on. So that falls in, like, the nerd up category for sure.
I'm going to start using nerd up.
I got 2 others. It's nerd up, work up, and cool up. I always say it's cool to be good at something and to have, like, a fun, like, passion project or hobby. So for you, that would be singing. And I think it's cool that you are passionate about singing and music. That would be, like, cooling up, like, cool up. And then really, is there anything else that I didn't ask you about that you want to bring up on this podcast?
I do have my 5 C's.
Let's hear them. 5 C's. What are the 5 C's?
Yeah, I'm a writer, so I love alliteration. I can't help myself. So I've collected all kinds of career advice over the course of my career, and also often write my own down to share with others. And so I've come up with what I think are the 5 C's for breaking in and also continuing to grow in this industry. So the first is collecting champion. And I love the word champions over just about any other word, like mentor or sponsor or anything else that might be similar. A champion is someone who fights for you. So a champion inside, you know, your agency is someone who speaks up for your idea. A champion outside of your agency is someone who's willing to, you know, make a call for you, to reach out to someone on your behalf, that really champion you. Collect champions. So second is chase change. Change is good for the creative soul, and it's also good for learning and growing. I've found by kind of seeking out change every couple of years, whether that's in my personal life, by moving or trying something, you know, really new and different as a hobby, or through my career, that's when I grow and learn. And obviously, you know, you meet a ton of new people along the way.
Totally.
For example, if you live in Chicago, trying, you know, an improv class at Second City is a good one, right?
Outside of the routine, right? Your comfort zone.
Outside of the routine, something went totally different to you.
What's the next C?
The next C is to channel your inner child. So I'm a mom of two kids, so this comes pretty easy.
You got that down pat.
I've got it down. I have a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. But what I mean by that is, first of all, to take time to play. That's something I remember through my kids, is how important it is to take a break and how much that can fuel your creativity when you're, you know, just playing, whether it's, you know, a board game or with Lego or whatever it may be. And then also to ask why, to always be asking why are we doing it this way? Why are we approaching this brief in this way? Why, you know, why does this insight make sense for this audience? You know, why? You'll never go wrong by asking why.
Love it. And I was told that you're supposed to answer your child every time they say why.
You are supposed to answer, and I've had some wild answers.
I'm sure. Love that. What is the next C for our listeners out there?
Study the classics. Studying all the great work that come before you. There's so much to learn.
Have the repertoire and, like, you know, as a benchmark and ways to bend it. You need to know what's winning out there and what's been historically, like, amazing, so you can do better, hopefully, right?
Yeah, what's winning, what's selling, what's resonating with people, what's working. Yes.
Love it. How do you find that? Through the ad trades, or is that through, like, annuals, or where do you usually go to find those?
I definitely follow the ad trade, and I sign up for all the newsletters that I possibly can, you know, Ad Age five, you know, top five creativity pick. It's often too much for one inbox, but
that's okay.
You know, scanning it and reading a few headlines every day,
yeah,
keeps you up to speed. I also love the work from Cannes. It's an incredible database. If you know, you can have, if your agency has a subscription to it, it is pretty pricey. And you,
I think there's a free version of lovethework.com.
I was just going to bring that up. If you didn't, sorry, you read my mind again. There is. And there's, you know, generally, you know, just about every campaign that you read about, you can find online. So, yeah, consuming as much of it as you can is the best way, I think, to keep learning.
Love it.
And then and there were five, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last but not least, check in with yourself.
Oh, yes. Forgot about that. I've been forgetting about that one personally.
Yeah. Well, you should not forget about it. You may even nerd up as much as me and put a meeting on the calendar with yourself.
I like that.
But just time to check in on where you're at with your career and what you expected, you know, to get and at a certain point is, I think, a good idea to do routinely.
And I think by the time this airs, it'll be closer to the new year. That's typically a time like the new year resolutions is a great time. I think everybody should reflect as the new year shows up, but it shouldn't be the only time where you do it once and you forget about it, whether it's quarterly or daily or weekly, you know, the check-ins can vary, right? For me, it's a big dump, an audit of my goals for the year, but you know, I think those check-ins should be more frequent personally, you know, whether it's at night, like, how did I do today? How am I feeling? What's going on? Am I getting closer, you know, for 5 minutes reflecting, writing it down? What are some of those ways? How does that manifest for yourself?
Yeah, for me, I find I have to be a little bit formal about it because I'm just so busy during the day with work and then at night with my family and friends. And if I am not formal about it, I kind of
forget. What does formal mean to you in this?
Yeah, I mean, I actually block off time to, you know, look at my goals and think about, reflect on whether
these are written down. You're a writer, so I'm assuming you write them down and then you check in on them. And how frequent do you do these personal block offs?
Monthly. Yeah.
That seems healthy.
Yeah. So it's easy to put that on the back burner, you know, in terms of what's happening in the moment with work and life.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to keep an eye on the bigger picture and what you're going for, what you're trying to achieve.
I love it. Those are good five C's. Did we get them all?
I mean, those are five. Five C's. Maybe more than five C's, actually. But yeah.
There we go. Shelly, then, how can people, 6C, how can people contact you if they have questions?
Oh, yes. My door is open.
To chase you, the champion.
They can find me definitely on LinkedIn. I'm pretty good.
So LinkedIn, and the website here is experiencenve.com. Great website.
Thank you. Wow.
Very nice. Oops. There's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem.
There you go. Check it out.
What else we got in here? AHS. Is it American Horror Story? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Dungeons and Dragons. These are cool.
Yeah.
You guys should do something with breaking and entering. Help me out here. Well, other than that, great episode. Thank you for coming on, Shelly. I hope everybody listening uses the 5 C's and all the other advice and they connect with you. But that's all I got, Shelly. You crushed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.